Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open tonight. We're going to continue the series on reflecting his presence or reflecting the glory, however you want to write that down, but reflecting the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord, we just sang it, is in this place. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of God. Do you remember that? It's in the book of Romans. In another place, it says that he was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God. So what you can derive from those two verses of Scripture, they don't contradict, they dovetail. Oh, like the Holy Spirit, dovetail, get it? They dovetail very neatly. The Spirit of God and the glory of God are synonymous terms. So anytime you talk about the glory, you're talking about his presence. You're talking about the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times when you talk about that, that scares some folks. They get scared about that. Ooh, you know, that's something wacko, weird. And the same ones that get afraid of things, of that kind of talk, are born-again people who have the Holy Spirit so close that he's as close as a mention of his name. He already lives in them. And yet, they're afraid. You know what they're afraid of? I guess they're afraid of somebody acting weird. Well, then you shouldn't leave your house. Because there's a bunch of weirdos out there. Have you not noticed? There are weird people everywhere you go. You will come across people that are odd. I was walking into a place of business one day. This was years ago. And there was an individual inside the lobby of this business talking to themselves and answering themselves in different voices. I, you know, when you come upon something like that, it's like, well, what do you think about this? Well, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure I think about that. And it's like the voice was changing, and it was really, I mean, if they were doing this as an act, it was a good act. It wasn't an act, trust me. There was a demonic spirit involved, obviously. And so I rebuked the devil. I did it quietly. I didn't want to make a scene. People were already staring at this individual. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, shut up and get out of here. And I'll never forget when I was walking, I walked past, and I did that under my breath. You know, I didn't walk right up and say, in the name of Jesus, you shut up, devil. I mean, there were other people in there who that would have freaked them out. I just said it kind of under my breath, and that person turned and looked at me with a steely stare, you know. They could feel the presence of God that was coming against that spirit that was working in them and on them. And it wasn't shortly after that she ran out the door. Now, you know, it would have been ideal if I could have led her to the Lord, but I figured getting the devil off her back was the first step, amen? And so, you know, just be aware of stuff that goes on around you, and the presence of God in you will affect others that you come in contact with. Now, part of the reflecting, I wrote it in an email that I sent to the church today. If you didn't check your email, you need to check it tonight yet. What I wrote in there was talking about how important it is to set an example. And part of reflecting the glory of God or reflecting his presence is setting a good example to others. Not only people that know you, people that don't know you. People that don't know you should see Jesus in you. They ought to know that there's something different about you. Not that you just blend right in, you tell dirty jokes, you laugh at dirty jokes, you act stupid, you act carnal. They can't tell you're just blending in with the world. Well, that's not where we ought to be. We ought to be standing up and standing out. Amen. Hey, come on, this is what separates those who are spiritually on top of things and those who are playing church. Amen? It really is. Because anybody can sit in church, you know. Some people think sitting in church is like, you know, if I just sit in church, I'm automatically a Christian. Well, I have found over the years that you can sit in a lot of places and not be what you think you're turning into. If you're sitting, how many of y'all have ever sat in your garage? Anybody outside of me? I like my garage. Jim, I know you like your garage. Amen. Did you turn into another car in there? Did you have another? You didn't turn into a car just because you sat in the garage. You didn't turn into a boat. You didn't turn into a good fisherman just because you sat in a boat. Amen. You don't turn into a preacher just because you go to a Bible school. Amen. You don't become a Christian just because you sit in church. There's a reason that the Bible tells us how to be born again, and to be born again, you need to accept Jesus into your heart. That's how you became a Christian. Amen. Let's open up to John 16 tonight again. We've used John 16 as a foundational portion of Scripture for these messages, and this is part three of reflecting His presence. Reflecting His presence. People should know that Jesus lives in you. And you shouldn't have to wear a shirt telling them that you're saved. Now, there's nothing wrong with a Christian shirt. I have them myself, and I do wear them, yes. Not every day, but I do. And I'm not ashamed to wear a shirt with the gospel on it, with the scripture. I'm all for that. What I'm saying is that shouldn't be your only witness. When you go around in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts and you're out, you know, taking care of some things or whatever it may be, people ought to see Jesus in you anyway, even though you don't have your witness shirt on. Amen. Well, it is true. John 16, look at verse number 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Now, this is Jesus saying this. Now, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, another verse of Scripture is found in John chapter 5. Just hold your finger here in John 16. Go to John chapter 5. So last week, I touched on just briefly that there is a chain of command, if you will. Jesus just said that the Holy Spirit takes of him and shows it to us. So whatever the Holy Spirit receives from Jesus, the Holy Spirit shows it to us and will illuminate it in us. Okay, we have that. So Jesus said in John chapter 5, look at verse 19, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So where does Jesus get it from? The Father, amen? The Father shows it to Jesus, and it's worded another way in other versions that I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. So Jesus is receiving from the Father, and then when Jesus has it from the Father, Jesus said the Holy Spirit receives it of him. So it goes from the Father to Jesus to the Holy Spirit to the church. And then where's it supposed to go after the church has it? To the world, amen? In Acts chapter 1, Paul talked about the gospel spreading and going out and how much that would be magnified after the day of Pentecost. Huh? Absolutely. So, praise God, it wasn't Paul that said it in Acts chapter 1. Luke penned that. Paul wasn't even saved then yet. That happened a little later in the book of Acts. Amen. Back to John 16. So we see that there is a chain of command. You know, it's important that you recognize that because you don't ever want to stray away from this word. You don't want to stray away from the word. Jesus did and said things that he heard from the Father. So anytime we read of things Jesus said, he got that from his Father. Then the Holy Spirit takes what Jesus said and shows it to us. That's why it's so important. In fact, you're in John 16, back up to John 14, that you realize the Holy Spirit is so intricately involved in our walk as ambassadors and how important it is to have the Holy Spirit functioning in that role in our lives. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance. This is Jesus talking now. Whatsoever I have said unto you. So again, the Holy Spirit's going to bring to remembrance the things Jesus said. But we are commanded in the Word to get into the Word, to study to show ourselves approved, so that you know, and then actively pursue allowing the Lord to replace mindsets that we have had. There are many times in our lives as we read the Word that a mindset is confronted in us. And you may have had a mindset that, you know, I just always will get even with people. If they do something to me, it may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, it may be a year in the future, but I will get even. Well, that's a wrong, ungodly, unscriptural mindset. Can I hear an amen? We shouldn't be people that walk around holding grudges. I don't care what they did to you. Get over it. None of you were nailed to a cross. Stephen was stoned, and what did he do? He said, Father, forgive them. Yes? Mm-hmm. They were throwing rocks at him. I mean rocks. They were professional rock throwers. You can see it on the news today when things are happening, people throwing rocks. They're still throwing rocks over in the Mideast. They've been doing that for years, man. Am I right? Now they're doing, what are they doing? Jerry, you said you saw it when you were over there. At least you heard of it, the balloons. You saw them. And what are they filled with? What are those balloons filled with? Helium, but then they're incendiary, exactly. So they go in. What do? Shoot the balloon down? No, you don't. The wind carries it in. It'll eventually fall. Boom, explode. So there's different ways that they're going about doing these things. And you know, I mean, that's pretty sick. And a child finds something, a balloon, and picks it up, and it explodes because of what it's attached to. I mean, that's just some horrible people. Demonic, devilish people that could do that, just randomly kill people. I mean, that's just horrible. That's the devil. We see that. But in John 14, Jesus is talking about the Comforter being the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, the King James says, whom the Father sends in my name. Now look at that. It says, he shall teach you all things. Do you get that? He shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings things to your remembrance when you've read the scripture, when you've heard the word, and you go out and, you know, later on today something or tonight something rises up in your thoughts and you remember that. That's not just you having a good memory. That's the Holy Spirit bringing it to your remembrance. The devil does not bring the word to your remembrance. The devil doesn't want you to remember the word. The devil wants you to forget everything that is told you here tonight. In fact, the devil doesn't want you to be here tonight. Can I hear an amen? Of course he doesn't. But how many of y'all know he has nothing to say about whether we're going to hear the word? Amen? Don't let him enter into the equation. That's flesh being ministered to by the enemy. Like we're talking about on Sunday, how the enemy, the devil, and wicked spirits minister to the person's flesh, to the body, and the feelings that the body possesses in the soul. He's trying to get control of your thoughts. He's trying to get control of your soul. Don't let him have it. You tell him what you're going to do. You tell your body what it is going to do. Have you noticed your body has no choice but to follow what you tell it to do? Well, Pastor Dan, you don't know my body. Yes, I do. Yeah? Everybody's body's the same way. If your spirit man is being led by the things of God, and you say, I don't care what you say, we're going to sit down and get into the word right now. We're going to do this. And your body's going, yeah, but wouldn't you like to go do this? You know, that closet is dirty. You haven't cleaned it in 5 years, and it needs to be done right now because you don't want to pray. You need to go over there and take care of that. How? Are you a good Christian? You don't clean your closets? I mean, all sorts of excuses that come up. The minute you set out to spend some time with God, the stinking phone will ring. How many of y'all ever noticed that? You want to get alone with God, and all of a sudden the texts start coming in, and oh my goodness, it's my turn in the game, you know? So it's like, I try to limit the amount of that I do. Some days, like yesterday was a day, Monday. My day off, and I try to take it and look at it that way, and yet I'm always out here in the morning on those days, but if you're going to play a game with me, that would be the day to do it, amen. So don't write me and ask to play a game. It'd be okay. Anyway, we looked at what righteousness was last week, and righteousness... it's this. It's the absence of guilt and presence of holiness by legal reason. That's a real simplified definition. The absence of guilt and presence of holiness by legal reason. No guilt, just holiness. I told you that there was a definition given that I forget who the minister was that gave it, but it was from a Greek lexicon of, and I didn't write it down and document that, but it used the word acquittable, and acquittable innocence and holiness in character and deed. Now, I asked you the question last week, what part of you became the righteousness of God in Christ? The whole of me, Pastor Dan. Well, then why does your body still give you trouble? My mind, too. Why does your mind still give you trouble if it's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Let me tell you something. Your mind didn't become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your body didn't become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What part of you did? Your spirit man did. And your spirit man is the place where the Spirit of God lives. And he recreated that. Now it's your duty to get into the Word and renew your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and there are parts to it. Now remember, the heart comprises the soul and the spirit, and they can either flow in conjunction one with the other, like we've been talking about on Sundays, or they can flow against one another. Israel had a divided heart. And so they had, you know, it's like their thoughts would go one way, and their, you know, now they weren't born again, but they were able to have, the inward, the conscience thing was after they heard the word, they weren't born again. They couldn't be born again until Jesus died. You know that. But Israel had a divided heart, and all that was saying was that they had this inward thought that they ought to go after and serve God, but the flesh was too much, and they just went that way. Now, can a believer tonight have a divided heart? Yeah. Yeah, your mind can go after the things of the flesh while your spirit is saying you need to get into the Word. It works best when those are flowing in conjunction one with the other. So your mind needs to be renewed. Your lifestyle needs to come into line with the Word of God. This is a process. This doesn't happen overnight. And guess what? You're never going to fully arrive. Now, you're fully saved, and you're not going to become any more righteous. You get that? You're as in right standing tonight with the Lord as you will ever be if you have received Jesus into your heart. You don't become a little more righteous. No, in your spirit, man, you're holy. What part of you does fall more and more in line with the Word of God? Again, it's your mind, will, and emotions. And then your body will begin to follow. You know, I meant to do this word study this week, and this is a good one for all of you to do. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about having your senses exercised to discern evil. Have you remember that? I believe it's in chapter, it is, it's 5. It's right near the end of the chapter. And so get in there and read that verse. In fact, it's the last verse in the chapter, verse 14. And so there is a place where you can get your body trained, where your soul and your spirit are flowing so in conjunction that your body starts catching up with it and going, hey, you know what? I'm going with them. Well, you don't have any stinking choice, body. Amen. Amen. That is a big problem in the body of Christ. It really is. The flesh wanting to do something other than what the spirit wants to do. And the mind saying, yeah, we're saved. We know we'll go do this instead. That's a problem. And it always leads to defeat. Okay? And I don't mean your feet. I'm talking about defeat. Yeah, amen. Amen. So get on the word. Praise God. So what part of you is made righteous? Your spirit. Your soul, it needs to be renewed, brothers and sisters. I remember when I first got saved, and I had that revelation very early on in my Christianity, and it was like, okay, I'm saved now, and the thought is, man, I'm not going to have any thoughts anymore that are contrary to the Bible. And you went a whole 6 hours, maybe. That's because you had people around you talking to you about the scriptures, and then you had the thought, I wish they'd leave. Is that really a nice thought? And then from there, the door was opened where now you had an angry thought about somebody or a thought of one way or another that didn't line up with the word of God, and the revelation hit. I still can have thoughts that are not good, even though I've been born again and I'm now in right standing with God. You remember when that hit you? Do you remember? Because that's the truth. That is the absolute truth. And people play this game like, well, I'm saved now, so I never have a bad thought. You are a lying dog. Don't call me a dog, Pastor Dan. Okay, you're a lying cat. How's that? What's the difference? That lion is not good. A lion. You're a lion, is it? Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah. That is a cat, though. Praise God. Let's move on in this reflecting his glory. I want to go quickly because I'm not going to go very long, but there are three things that the Spirit of the Lord will do in us. Number one, he's going to tell us what Jesus says, right? He's going to tell us what Jesus says. We just read that. He's going to take of mine and show it to you. He'll bring your remembrance, whatever I've said to you. He's going to, number two, bring us what Jesus has. What does Jesus have? Jesus has right standing with the Father. How did you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? When you received Jesus Christ as Lord and believed on him, the Holy Spirit came to live and dwell in you, and he brought that with him. Amen. His indwelling presence chased the darkness away. That's where the exchange, the stony heart was replaced with the heart of flesh. And you were born again. And now you're alive unto God. My goodness sake. So he tells us what Jesus says. He brings us what Jesus has. And then he, number three, will show us who Jesus is. And once you do that, you lose your identity in him. What, you think you're Jesus? No. But I identify with him. The Bible says over 130 times that I am in him and he's in me. That whole in him principle in the Word of God, in Christ, in whom you have redemption through his blood, in Christ, you have this. Look for all the in hims, in whom, in Christ. You can find that in the New Testament, and there's about 130, 134 of them, maybe a little more. But the fact is, in him, you have a whole lot of rights. A whole lot of rights. In him, you have divine health. That says you don't have to be sick. That says you don't have to, in him, you have divine provision. It's his will to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's in him. In him. Wrap yourself so much in him and get lost in his identity that you'll lose your own. Our identity as humans is not worth keeping in the first place. We want his identity to rule and reign in us. That's part of being that kingdom in the earth and letting the glory of the Lord shine out of us is what we need to be actively involved in doing. Actively involved in doing. You can't let the glory of the Lord shine out of your life when you never spend any time in the Word of God. So there's the first thing. You've got to get into the Word and spend some quality time with him, not only in study, but in praise and worship. Just talking to him. Talk to the Lord, y'all. You need to talk to him. And then sit down and listen. Because it's one thing to do all the talking, another thing then to sit down and listen. Preachers can be guilty of that. Because when I'm up here doing what I'm doing right now, I'm doing all the talking. And so I have to watch that I don't do that with Ann, you know. But believe it or not, I have learned over the years to not do all the talking. Now, I do all the talking right here when I'm in the pulpit. But at the house, I don't like to talk all that much. I mean, I do talk. Ann and I do talk because you have to have communication. That's part of a good marriage. But the fact is, you know, I just assume sit there and just kind of, you know, Larry, you know what I'm saying? Just sit there and, thanks, Larry. Kenneth, you with me? Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. I know you do. Corey, you with me? Yeah, amen. Yeah. I'm not going to say, Pastor Dan. I'm just not going to say. Yeah, don't take it to a vote. No, we don't need. Anyway, praise God. So everything that the Holy Spirit does, he receives from Jesus. Everything that he does, he receives from Jesus. Let me give you a quick definition of glory. Because we're talking about reflecting the glory or the presence of God as he dwells in us. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit ministers to us. He tells us what Jesus has, and he takes what is from Jesus and shows it to us. Well, then we need to learn how to communicate it to others, both in action and in word. Or you could say in word and deed. That's the part of the chain we're talking about. We need to learn how to take what he's given us and reflect to others. And that's going to happen through the example that you set. You need to set a good example for your household. You know, sometimes people don't like, and I've said this before, but sometimes we don't like what we see in our kids. Ooh. Yeah, boy, so let's just not go there, Pastor Dan. Well, you know, one day Austin, when he was little, he said something, and it sounded just like me. And I heard it, and I'm like, that wasn't a cuss word. We don't cuss. You know that. But you know, it's like get an attitude about something, and then you walk around and show that to your family, and your family picks up on it. Oh, you're reflecting Jesus. No, you're not reflecting Jesus. You're reflecting your own flesh, and they don't need to see that. Amen? Well, amen. Glory defined. Here it is. Get this down. That which expresses what a person is about. Ooh, man. I mean, that which expresses what a person is about. Now get this. An act or trait that exemplifies the character of that person. An act or trait that exemplifies the character of that person. Now here it is. The works or essence, the being of God. In other words, the presence of God. The presence of God. This expresses his power and virtue. And this is all on the tape. You know that. This expresses his power and virtue. In other words, moral excellence and holiness. So whenever you and I reflect the holiness of God, people are fascinated by that because it's not the norm. And when people pick up on something that's happening in your heart, in your life, and they see something different in you, I mean, those are outstanding moments in time when somebody can tell that you're a Christian. That is the biggest compliment anybody can ever pay to me. Not based on what I say, not based on a shirt that says, I love Jesus and I'm born again. Oh, that's cool. That's fine. But I would like it if they could see when I'm just wearing a regular shirt. There's something about this man that is loving. There's something, there's a peace about him. I don't know what it is. He seems like a really nice guy. What is it? That opens doors to be able to share Christ. Because if you walk in it enough, people will ask. They'll say, what is it about you? I watched, you remember me telling you the time, go ahead, stand to your feet because we're going to stop right here. Remember me telling you the time I was in Walmart? And, I can use me as an example. And we were shopping. Now, we don't shop that way anymore. Ann gets online and shops there. And whenever we go to Walmart, we just drive up and, hey, I go to Walmart way more than she does. Because I'm the one who drives over there and picks up the order, okay? Would you stop by? The order's done, and I'll be out here or whatever. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll swing in there. And get lunch, too, while you're at it, yeah. And go over here and do that, yeah. That's okay. But I was standing at the end of the aisle. She's going up and down the aisles. Got her arms full of stuff. I've got the cart, and she comes to me. You know, that's how we were doing it. And she agreed with it and all that until she would go, get over here. And then I would, come. But anyway, I'm sitting there in the aisle just leaning against the meat case there in Walmart on the north end. And I'm watching her. And this woman walks by, and she looked like she had those pants painted on her. They were so tight. And, it was like, okay, here I am. Okay, preacher man, you're going to look? You're going to sneak a peek? Check her out just as she goes by. And so when I had been leaning this way, and I turned and I saw her coming. It was like, ooh, boy. So she walked by, I don't want to do that. But anyway, I was going to throw my hips around, but I don't have any to throw. Anyway, so she comes walking up, showing more meat in a butcher's window, pants painted on her. And so what did I do? I did this. I just looked over my shoulder the other way. I think is how I did it. I never looked. I just didn't look. I said, I'm not giving the devil that opportunity to draw my eye and pull my thoughts. So the devil's going to parade stuff in front of you to try to distract you. It could be, I saw a brand new C8 Corvette yesterday. I drove around the block to look at the blue one. I drove around the block to look at it. I was like, man, is what, I was like, oh, I rebuked that in the name of Jesus. So I actually, when I first, just between us right here, when I drove by that, I didn't, there was something going on in the road, and I had to keep my eye on the road, but I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and so I thought, I got to go back and look at that. Was that a lamp? Was that a gear? I'm like, so I went around the block, did my stuff, and I turned around, and I went back by, it's that new C8. Nice looking. Anyway, but he'll parade things in front of you. And so that day at Walmart, there was a woman showed up in church that Sunday, and she said, I saw you at Walmart the other day. Uh-huh. I saw what you were doing. I said, you did. What was I doing? Well, you're sitting there at the meat counter or the meat case. Yeah, and I'm like, uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. That woman of the night walked by, And she said, Whore of Babylon! Like Jesse Duplantis did, Yeah. Anyway, so she said, and I watched your eyes. And she said, I was impressed. I said, God gets the glory for that. I try to make that something that I do. It's not that I've never seen a pretty woman. It's not that I've never seen a woman with pants on that are too tight, it's there. That's all. It's all over the place these days. But you've got to carry yourself in the presence of God in your life. And like Anna says to me, when somebody cuts me off on the road and I wish my horn was a gun, Or somebody gives you the finger and cuts you off at the same time, and you're like, pull over, I'll break that thing off, man. She goes, what if they show up at the church on Sunday? I said, you always got to talk, woman, then I can break it off. No, I'm don't look at me in that tone of voice. I know you've all felt like that when somebody's done something like that to you before. Like the night I was preaching on love, and I pull out of the church down on the South Lowry when we were down there right before we built this. And I turn out, this car is coming up to the stop sign. I have the right of way. I turn, and they pull up behind me and get right on me, flashing their lights, hitting their horn, giving me the old middle finger salute. I had just finished talking about walking in love. Man, I was like grabbing the steering wheel. Just pull over, you know. Devil sent it. Anyway, you got to let the glory of the Lord. So instead, you just wave. All right. Let's see you. Yeah, you gave me that one, and I just go, hey, how you doing? You know, here's five. How you like that? Anyway, praise God. Come on, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you tonight and praise you tonight that, yeah, the world is looking at us, and the church is looking. The body of Christ, people out there, but most importantly, you know what's going on. You see us. You see what we're doing. You know the intentions of our heart. You know where we're at, Lord God. And so we desire to please you. We don't want to be men pleasers, but we do want to carry ourselves as ambassadors and witnesses for you in Jesus' name. So I thank you that we reflect your glory. We will let you shine through us, and the world will just have to see Jesus in us. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Come on. Praise God. Thank you.